All right. I'd like for you, if you would, to take your Bibles, your phones, whatever it may be, and I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And I want to set this up for us so that we understand what's going on in the Scripture. This is early in Jesus' ministry. And so at the very beginning of his ministry, he's actually calling out men that he can give the ministry over to. I think that is so important. You know, that one of the earliest things that he does is that he's picking these men. And so today, don't think if you're a woman that doesn't include you, because it does, okay? He's picking these men that he can entrust this message of the good news of Jesus Christ with. So that when he's gone, because he knows that he's only here for just a short time, about 3 years, and then he's going to be gone. And so he's got to leave everything that he's doing with trusted men. And so he begins to call out his disciples. And so in Matthew chapter 4 is where we begin to hear some of this calling that's going on. It's in verse 18, and it says, "Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen." And so we're fairly familiar, if you know much about the Bible, if you've been exposed to it, you realize that that the disciples, that there's quite a few of those disciples who were fishermen. And his words to them in verse 19 is, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." If you've been in church, there's always that statement that we're supposed to be fishers or catchers of men. And so he tells them that here are these fishermen in the natural sense. He tells them, "Come and follow me because I want to make you catchers. I want to make you fishers in a supernatural sense, in a kingdom sense." But then it says, it goes on, and it says in verse 20, "And immediately they left their nets and they followed him." I just want to tell you today, that's how you follow Jesus. You do it immediately. Okay, so whatever God has in store for today, I want to encourage you that what he's doing, whatever he's doing in you today, respond to it immediately. That's how we obey. We obey immediately. And then in verse 21, "Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, his father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed." Now, we do not have the kind of fishing mentality that we need for the story today. Most of you are recreational fishermen, and you fish with a hook, and you fish with a string of some kind, right? And that is the kind of fishing that we think about. This is not the kind of fishing that you run into in the Bible. In fact, very rarely are they ever talking about, if ever, are they ever talking about a recreational kind of fishing with a line and a hook. They're almost always talking about fishing with some kind of net. And so often they would throw these nets from these boats that they would have in the Sea of Galilee, and then they would pull them up, and then they would have these big, long nets. I don't know that we have any commercial fishermen in the room, so I did as good as I could, okay? So, Chris, can you help me? I'm borrowing a net from Chris today. And let's just set it up here so we can kind of explain this thing. And so there'd be hundreds of feet of net, maybe 100 yards of net, fishing net. Back in those days, it wasn't nylon. It was some grassy fiber, a natural substance. Later on, they'd move to wool. And so these things were expensive. Okay, you got to get that in your mind. The net was an expensive thing. And so if you've ever thought that Peter and Andrew and some of those guys were some poor folks, well, guess what? They probably were not. These were actually some fairly well-to-do businessmen, commercial fishermen who have expensive boats and they have expensive nets. And one of the best ways that you can catch a lot of fish is you would take a net like this, and it would have cork on top to make it float, and it would have a sinker on the bottom to make sure it drug the bottom of this Sea of Galilee, and they would send out a boat out across. You all are going to be fish for just a moment, okay? And so you're about to get caught, whether you know it or not. But they would send out a boat, and they would send it out into the Sea of Galilee, and then they would send it crossways across the Sea of Galilee, and then they would bring it back in. And so fishing is a team sport. It requires often a couple of ships, if not several ships, to get this thing to work just right. And so what they end up doing is they create a place for the fish, and as they begin to pull this thing in, the float is causing this net to float on top. The sinkers are causing it to sink to the bottom, and everything in between gets caught. And that's what happens. Thank you, Chris. That's what's happening. These guys are fishing. It says that Peter and Andrew, they're casting these nets out. Oftentimes, this is the method they used. And when it says that they were mending nets, there's something very special about that. I've been thinking about this thing of mending nets for so long. I finally believe that God's given me the kind of clarity that I've needed to preach this thing for you today. But I've just been mesmerized by that. And it's found twice in Scripture. It's found here, Matthew chapter 4. It's found in Mark chapter 1. Same situation, though. Same story. These guys mending nets. I'm like, God, what are you trying to show us? What is there about this mending of the nets? And see, here's the thing. I told you it was expensive, right? Did you remember that? But this is an expensive net. And if you're going to do a good job of fishing, then you've got to have a good net. You ever heard the saying from Abraham Lincoln? He said, if I had 6 hours to cut down a tree, I'd spend four sharpening the axe. You ever heard that? You got to have good equipment. And I'm mesmerized by these two fishermen who are out mending their nets. And why do you mend a net? Well, you mend a net because in the process of fishing, things happen. Sometimes you're so successful at fishing that there's so many fish that it would literally begin to break the nets. And so after they bring in an incredible harvest, after a time where they brought in much fish and would make great amounts of money, they'd look at their nets and they go, oh my, our success has also caused some problems. You ever thought about that? That our success sometimes creates some things around it? And so it would create some tears in the net sometimes, and it would break the net. And so these guys would have to get out, and they'd have to meticulously just look at the net, checking over the nets. It's bigger than this now, okay? It's hundreds of yards at times. And they would look over this net, and they would find the torn places. And that's what these disciples are doing, James and John. Sometimes they would catch this thing on the bottom on a tree or a limb or a sharp rock or maybe a capsized boat or something like that. And so it would catch and it would tear, and they'd have to go back and they'd have to mend this thing. This thing is susceptible to the water and to the sunshine. And so what they would have to do is they'd have to clean these nets at the end of their time of fishing. They'd clean them and they'd wash them. It would get stuff in it that they didn't need. And so they would clean these nets. They'd have to make sure that they were untangled. Anybody ever use a net and got it all tangled up? I watched Chris one time throwing this net, and that thing would get all tangled up. And I'm like, yep, that's why I don't fish right there. That's exactly why I don't fish, because that looks like just a bunch of aggravation to me. Yeah. Can you imagine hundreds of yards of this net that they've got to look through, and they've got to untangle it, and they've got to sort it out, and then they've got to stack it just right for the next day, because you can't fish with tangled net. And so they do all this work. Sometimes they're just pulling this thing in over the boats, and it's just wearing, just from the wear and tear of life. This net's just becoming a little bit worn, a little bit frazzled. It's becoming, they got to watch for dry rot. They got to watch for mold. Do we feel like we're sufficiently educated on net mending now? And I looked at that, I'm like, God, what are you trying to tell us? What are you trying to say? And I kept coming up with this one word, and it didn't seem right. All through the morning, I was using this word beautiful. It just seems beautiful to me to have these guys that you just watch them, and they're just meticulously sewing back places that have been torn and broken in a net. It just seems like a beautiful thing that somebody would be that meticulous to know that if they're going to have a good catch, that they've got to spend time working on this net. And then today, it was like as we were worshiping, another word came to me, and it was holy. Not holy in the sense of holy in a net. Okay. Holy. You know what holy means? Holy actually means something other than. It's a hard word to define in Scripture, but holy means something other than. It's different than. That's why when God says He's holy, it means there's no one like Him. There's nothing like it. It doesn't compare to anything else. I see these guys that work in and they're ministering this thing, and I'm like, that is an amazing, different, and holy occupation. Now, I don't know if you see where I'm going with this or not, but let me see if I can make this clear to you. Jesus calls two men that are fishing, and He calls two men that are mending. And I would say that the church has spent far more time talking about going out and being fishers of men and not nearly enough time talking about mending nets. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Because you cannot fish with broken nets. And too often, as the church, we try to fish with broken nets. Too many times we try to work as individuals with broken nets. And so let me explain this thing about fishing to you, because He said He was going to make them fishers of men. And so if you don't know what that means, it's just so good. I got to go on and tell you that, even though the real message is about mending today. You know, when a fisherman catches fish, he intends to eat them, right? Either he's going to eat them or someone else is going to eat them. And so they're casting these nets in order to catch these fish that they might consume and devour and eat these fish. I got good news for you, though. When Jesus sent out His disciples into the world and He told them to be fishers of men, He's not calling them to catch people and to devour them. You see, the enemy is the one that's devouring. He says, catch people that are being devoured and pull them to life. I should have got an amen for that. I'm about to start preaching here. I just want to warn you, okay? And so... The difference is that you pull them not so that they might be devoured, but the gospel comes to people, and Christians, people who are followers of Christ, they reach out to the lost so that they might bring them in so that they won't be devoured. They bring them in not so that they might be captured, but so they might be set free, that they might be saved, that the things that have been hindering their lives might be fixed. And so this thing of the gospel going out, it's a beautiful thing. And I want to let you know that if the gospel has ever reached you, it is because of the love of God. It is because He desired to have you and to set you free. But now what about this thing of mending? The church has a bad reputation in the world sometimes, doesn't it? Let's just be honest. The church has a bad reputation of times. And I've been thinking about this thing, fishing and mending, catching and mending. And here is where I am. Some thoughts that have been running through my mind is that how is the world to know that God loves them if they don't see us loving? I got to say that one more time. I don't think you were listening. Okay. How is the world going to know that God loves them when they look inside the church and they don't find love? You know? How is it that they're supposed to believe that God Himself could ever forgive them of their sins if the church can't forgive people? How is it that they can believe that God saves when the church sits idly by while the world burns and does nothing? This thing starts inside and it works outside. Do you see what I'm trying to say? You know, in Scripture where it says they would know, the world would know that you're my disciples by the way you what? By the way you love. Yeah. You see, I think we spent a lot of time talking about catching fish, and we might should have been spending a little bit more time talking about mending nets. We've been fishing with broken nets. And it's why the world looks and doesn't want anything to do with the church, because it starts from the inside and it works its way outside. We get authority in small places and then we have authority in big places. And I believe what God is telling me today is to speak to us and say, don't ever get tired of mending nets. It is well worth the time and the energy and the effort to mend those nets. You know, we're going to be a year old in about 2.5 weeks. Did you know that? We have a birthday. Yes, we have a birthday. And in that time, a lot of things have happened. This place has grown. Do you realize that there are 3 times as many people here today that call Ember their church home as there was when we started a year ago? Is that not cool? Huh? There are three times as many people that call Ember home today as they did when we started this thing a year ago. And so there's been some catching. And the Lord is telling me that that is a good thing. You know, I watch you guys, and in fact, I got to read the scripture because this is what you guys have been doing. I think you know what you were doing. I think I even know where it is in scripture. Yeah. Listen to this. This is as beautiful as mending nets right here. This is what it's all about. This is what you guys have been doing. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You didn't even know what you were doing, maybe, but you've been involved in a ministry of reconciliation. You say, what does that mean? Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Do you see that? He's pulling them in. He's reconciling the world. He's bringing them to himself, not counting their trespasses against him. Ooh, does anybody love that verse other than me? Did you hear that? He's not counting. He's not counting your trespasses. If you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not counting. Somebody should have thought that was good news. And I want to tell you this. Either he's counting or he's not counting. You can't have it both ways. You can't say that one day he's counting and one day he's not, or he's counting theirs and he's not counting yours. He's not counting anyone who is in Christ Jesus. I know it's a convenient thing when you want somebody to do something that you want them to do. You just start talking about how God's counting and they better watch out. But look, folks, he's either counting or he's not counting. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him. I'm going to choose to believe this. He's not counting. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. Do you hear that? He's appealing to the world through you. He's reaching out to the world through you. And it says, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Oh, I want that heart. Even more of that heart. It says, we beg you to be reconciled with God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's what's been happening, folks. As we have been reaching out, as God has been revealing himself to us and we have experienced the reconciliation and the good news of the gospel, you can't help but just say, hey, I've been turned on to something good and I think you ought to taste of it. And then you see how that begins to draw people in. But then as you do that, you have to look at yourself. We have to look at ourselves and we have to say, are our nets in good shape? Are we healthy as a church? And I got to tell you, I believe we are. I'm preaching this message from a really good spot that I believe you guys are doing this. So what am I telling you? Just keep doing it. Yeah. Sometimes when you get successful or you start being successful, you quit doing the very thing that made you successful, right? I'm just telling you, don't quit doing the thing that has made this successful, which is that you love people, but at the same time, we got to be thinking about mending our nets, mending our relationships. I want to make this personal for you right now. There may be some places in your life where you have to mend some nets. I want you to think about that, and I want to tell you that it's well worth it. Wherever you have to go in order to mend nets, if you have to go somewhere and ask for forgiveness, if you have to go somewhere and be reconciled to someone, I would say do it, because the body of Christ is better when it's mended. Somehow or another, the world just seems to know when we're out of sorts, and it doesn't, they see this contradiction. But can you see this thing when the church begins to start loving on each other and it begins reconciling with each other? I want to tell some of you that you need to go maybe back to your organization and you need to be a net mender, because your organization has some places that are broken. And so go there and be a mender starting Monday morning. Some of you may be in charge of a place, and what an amazing authority that you have in order to be a mender. You've actually got the God-given authority in that place because you're in charge, you're the boss, you're the manager, whatever it may be, to mend those situations. There may be I see this thing coming with other churches too, of seeing other churches coming together. And to me, it's just like a net. It's where we don't see ourselves in conflict with each other. We don't see ourselves in competition with each other. But we see ourselves as part of making up this fabric of a net. And when we don't get along, it's not good, because it means that the net's broken. There's a whole division in the world, in the United States, between black and white. And I just believe that God wants to mend that net. I don't care if I get an amen on that or not. I'm going to preach that one regardless. You know, how can we fully be fishers of men when we got two sections of nets that are broken, and they've got to come together? I just got to take, for God to do all that He wants to do, those two nets are going to have to come together. Can you imagine if there's a group of Christians who see that? They get it. They've got a revelation of what God wants to do, and they say, we'll become net menders. Everywhere we get a chance, we're going to try to work with other churches. We're going to try to work with other believers so that our net becomes tight, and we're able to get as many people and bring them to the love of Jesus, the salvation of Jesus, the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you got to figure out. That's right. One new man. Yes. One body. Yeah. So now that I've told you that, let me tell you this. Mending is found about 13 to 17 times in Scripture. Only two of them are actually related to natural fishing. The other times it's related to things that go on to the body of Christ. So I didn't just take a cool thing I found in the Bible and try to make a spiritual principle. Actually, the word in the Bible, this is so good I couldn't even make it up. The word in the Bible that talks about mending about 13 other times, and I want to read a few of them and see if this thing doesn't begin to make sense to us. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, it's talking about unity, and it uses the word for mending. Listen to it. 1 Corinthians 1:10. It says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united. That means to be mended. That's the word that was used for mending nets. It says be perfectly united, be mended in mind and thought. Let me just tell you a cool story about being united. So many times we want to look at somebody and say, somehow I've got to be united with this person. That's not how you do it. The way you get spiritual unity is two people look at God and say, God, what's your plan? Do you see that? I just helped some of y'all's marriages. You didn't even realize it. Pay attention. Okay? That's marriage counseling right there. There are times where you can't get along, and it's because you're trying to somehow sort out your thoughts and your feelings together, and that is a hard thing to do. But what you do is you put your eyes on Christ, and you say, we'll both walk toward Him. And I have always seen this to be the case, is that when you get two people and they cannot agree on each other, if you can get them to look to Christ and desire what He says, and they start walking to Him, oh, this beautiful thing starts happening. They start walking closer and closer together. One Sunday, I had this word about unity, and I felt like I was supposed to give it to Leanne. Leanne ministers to our children, so Jeff and Leanne are often not in the services. And so I went up to her and I said, Leanne, I have a word for us today, and it's unity. I believe God is saying that our hearts have to be one, and that what I'm doing in here is what you're doing in there, and that our hearts are to be united. She said, that's amazing. He gave me the same word. And then she emailed me later on, I think it was like a week later, and she says, I don't know if you know this or not, but I've been listening, because she's not in here, so she listens to the messages online. And she said, for about the last several weeks, I've been teaching in Kingdom Kids what you've been preaching on Sunday mornings, but I'm about a week ahead of you. And we didn't even know it. We hadn't even talked. But we were in the same portions of Scripture teaching the same thing. Many of you don't know, New Life Church meets here at 1 o'clock, an African-American congregation. And I meet with the pastor on a regular basis. The very first Sunday they were here, we got together the following Wednesday, and I said, what'd you guys talk about? We had preached on the exact same Scripture that day. We had literally preached on the exact same Scriptures from Galatians, and we didn't know it. Why do I tell you all that? Because everything I'm talking about doing is a supernatural thing. You cannot do it in the natural. That's why it relates to this message series that we're doing on faith. You just have to trust God, and you got to follow Him, and then He works out the details in between. Now, let's keep going. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Be mended. Encourage one another. Did you hear that? What did it say? Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Galatians 6:1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Same word. Mend them. And how do you do it? Did you hear that? Gently. It even tells you how to do it. It tells you to do it and how to do it. Do it with the spirit of gentleness. And then the last one, and then I'm going to bring some people up. You know who you are. You have stuff written on your forehead. Ephesians 4:11. Listen to this. God, please give us ears to hear. Holy Spirit, speak to us right now. Allow us to see it. Give us revelation, God, of what this looks like. This is Ephesians 4:11-16. So Christ Himself gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to equip His people. I bet you didn't know the word equip there meant to mend. It's the same word used for mending nets. To equip people, to mend nets. To equip His people for the work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by every cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful schemings. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is in Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We are the body of Christ. We are the building of Christ. And we are nets that are constantly and forever being mended. You will never regret the time you spend mending nets. Now let me have our folks. Can you guys come up? You had people in your midst today. I don't know if you knew it or not. You had some people in your midst. Yeah, you guys, just line up across the front here. Watch the net. Please don't trip on the net. You see, so many times, what happens is we're walking around people and they're broken. Some of them are saved, but the enemy has done something to get them to believe a lie. That's the actual ammunition that the enemy has, is that he lies and he tells us things that are not true. And then that gives place to the enemy to work in our lives. And so there are people all the time that are walking around and maybe they've gotten sideways. Maybe there's some brokenness in their life. And don't say it's not so, because too often all we do is look and go, oh, that person's insecure. Oh, terrible. Bless your heart. No? And we just go on. And we walk around people and go, oh, you know what? She's so broken. Everything about her just oozes broken. When she talks, you can just tell she's broken. Oh, bless her heart. And we're going down and we go, oh, she's unworthy. She thinks she's unworthy. She acts like it. That's why she's in all these situations that she's in. And we go a step further and we begin to gossip. We begin to talk about the person. But you know what? We still leave her in the same spot that she's in. We don't mend the nets. We don't see ourselves as mending nets. We're okay. They all said they love Jesus. We good with that. We think they're going to heaven. Let them worry about their own stuff. We got our own junk, right? But here's what happens. What do we have here? We got bitter and stupid and regret. You see, regret's trying to cover up. That'll preach, won't it? You know, sometimes we don't know where to get help, so we just try to cover it up. And hopefully nobody else will see it, right? You know, we got insecurity and anger and broken and fear. Looks like fear's tried to work on herself a little bit. It's a little smudged. We got pride and unworthy and unforgiven and lonely and prejudice. And I told you, you know, not every problem is yours, by the way. Not every person is yours. But there are ones that are yours. And I can tell you what, prejudice and racism are mine. And I intend to see an end to it as far as it is to me. And so I'm gonna go mend a net right now. And the way often you mend nets is by the washing of the Word. You use the Word of God. And so this little towelet, just assume that it's the Word of God. And what you do is you go, and how do you restore somebody? Gently. And what you do is you begin to just wash them with the Word of God. And so you got to love somebody enough to be able to do that. And you just wash until you wash the prejudice away. Because you see, Satan's told a lie. And that person's believed a lie. And so you got to work on them long enough so that you can get the lie out and so that the truth comes in. And then you can look at that person and you say, you know what? You're clean. You may not know it, Billy, but you're clean. Your head is perfectly clean now. In fact, if it had a little dirt on it before, that's gone too. I don't know if it did or not. But you clean, brother. Okay? And so now, you know what? That's not the only person. And so I've got to clean some more. But you know what? That's going to take me a long time, isn't it? And so what I want you to do is I want y'all to all wait until I clean every one of these folks. Because it's my job to clean them all, right? Right? That's going to take a long time, right? It's going to be a long time before Jesus gets back if Kevin's got to clean. That's why this thing that's been going on here at Ember is amazing, is that Kevin is not having to clean everybody. The body of Christ has figured it out. We have figured it out that there is not one person that cleans, but we're equipping everyone to clean. And so, I tell you what, Billy, you just got clean. You know what it feels like. Feels good, doesn't it? Go and clean somebody else. You see how that works? You've been clean. You know what it feels like. Now you go clean somebody else. Go ahead, pick somebody. And then you just start looking for somebody. And you say, you know what? We got to recruit some people because there's more broken people than Billy and I can do. And so I need somebody that can help me clean. Sam, would you help clean? And Kelly got it because she volunteered. And so I need help. Is anybody going to help me? Because this thing is important. In fact, you know what? Two of you might need to work on somebody. Somebody might be up there called stubborn. So wash. And wash them. You're washing them by the Word of God. Wash. Reconcile relationships. Be perfectly united. Strive for full restoration. Restore gently. Equip the saints for the work of this right here. Do you see what's happening? This is the church. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want a picture of what the church looks like, this is what the church looks like. Because too many times we're walking around and there's people wounded. And once you become clean. In fact, I want to read a verse for you. It's in Titus 3:5. Listen to this. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we had done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, and by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. You see, these folks have been washed, but here's the thing, and this was the part I think I was missing, is that Chris Gaddy came up this morning before he even knew the message, and he said, it feels like that there's this thing going on where when people get healed of things, we also have to remind them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You fill up with something. So once you've been set free from something, then you need to fill up. And oftentimes in Scripture, the Word of God uses oil to represent the Holy Spirit. That's why it is important that it says be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be constantly filled up with the Holy Spirit. Be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And so you go along and we got to, in the interest of time. And in the interest of time, we make sure that people are filled with the Holy Spirit. And so now, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like for y'all to pass these out to get help. Because this is not one man's show. It's not a one-man, not a one-woman show. Y'all get help. And pass out a wipe to every person in the room. Do you see the picture of the church? Jesus said He came not to judge, but so that the world through Him might be set free. And so that is the work of the church. If you ever wondered what it looked like, if you ever needed a picture, that's the picture. Become part of the picture. And so here's what we're going to do today to close this thing out. We're just going to spend some time. And you stay here as long as God wants you to. But there's probably some people in the room that you need to be washed by the Word, that you need to be mended. You need the truth of God to come in. Those things are 99.9% germ killing. All right? The Word of God is 100% effective for killing Satan. In fact, he's already dead. He's already defeated. And so you're not going trying to prove that something's going to happen. It already has happened. You're telling me that they already are free, that they already are forgiven, that they already are loved. And so we're going to play this song. The song is called Mercy, and it says that mercy triumphs over judgment. I picture a church just like this one, because this is the one that I'm at. I picture a church that is driven by mercy, that is controlled by love, and it sees that when there are people that are broken, its job is to mend. And we mend from the inside, and then we fish from the outside, and we gain credibility with the world, because when they look at us, they look at Ember, they say, those people love each other down there. Have you ever noticed that? And we smile and we say, you know what, we work hard at it. We work hard at loving each other. We mend nets. And we heal brokenness. And we work hard at loving. And we work hard at forgiving, because we want to present a testimony to the world that Jesus loves and Jesus forgives and Jesus saves. And so this song is called Mercy. And now I want to ask you to do this. I want you to encourage each other in the body of Christ, which means God may lead you to someone to minister to them. Someone may need ministry. And we're just going to close that way. And whenever you need to leave, you can leave. But I want to tell you, the world, this thing is ripe. This is ripe. And this thing will change the world. Does anybody want to be that type of Christian? Then for anybody who wants it, in the name of Jesus, and by the shed blood, Lord Jesus, that you shed for us on Calvary, God, we will be fishermen and we will be menders. And right now, I release everybody in the room that wants to be this. I release them into what is their destiny, to be fishers of men and to be menders of nets. I release them in the name of Jesus. You've given them everything they need. And by faith, we will walk in love and we will walk in forgiveness. We will walk gently. And so I release this body into the world to do exactly what they saw right here, to do exactly that thing. I release them into the world right now in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, we're going to hang out here and we're going to minister to each other, because we believe that there are things that you want to do right here, authority right now in a small place, that we might have authority in the bigger places. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anybody need ministry today? Stand up while this song's going. And people, look around, move around. Everybody, does anybody need ministry today? Does anybody need to receive Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior? We'll never put anybody on the spot. We never want to embarrass anybody. But I want to release the church right now. Church, ask God if He wants something to happen and just begin to minister. We're going to spend this time just ministering. If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.